I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. How have Americans recovered from the 2008 Great Recession? Washington Post reporter Amy Goldstein spent quite some time analyzing what happened in Janesville, and she's written a book that's getting a lot of attention, and deservedly so. It chronicles what happened to the people at the GM plant, what happened to banks and stores and teachers, and actually the whole community, and it goes from 2008 all the way up to 2015/16. Her book is Janesville, An American Story. And this hour, we're going to be talking with two of the people who are featured in her book to give us an idea of what happened when the General Motors Assembly Plant in Janesville closed in 2018. What's happened to all of the workers? What's happened to the town? It really is a microcosm of how many people were affected by the Great Recession when 8.8 million people lost work in this country. Where have people gone now? Have they found jobs, but jobs that don't pay as well as work paid on the GM assembly line at the plant there? What happened to banks? What's happened to people in terms of trying to fashion a new kind of living? What happens actually when good jobs go away and middle-class people tumble out of the middle class is the question that we ask this hour of the program. And we'll have two, as I said, of the people featured in the book. State Senator Tim Cullen is with us. He represented the 15th District, the Janesville area, between the years 1975 to 1987, also between 2011 and 2015. He's former majority leader, and he spent time working at the plant, as did his father, as did his grandfather, worked in similar kind of work as well. So he'll have a family perspective on this. Tim, hello. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Tim.
Pleasure to be on.
Yeah, great to have you here. Also joining us is Marv Wopat. He's a Milton resident. He's a former GM employee who was affected by the closure of the plant. He and his family, his son particularly, are featured in this book, and he has since retired. Marv, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate having you. Let's go back to December of 2008 when both of you were in Janesville and you heard the news that this plant was closing. What did you think? Tim?
Well, December 23rd of 08 is when it did close. We heard about the possibility of it in January of 2008, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Marv, my good friend Marv, I'm glad you've got him on. He's a great guy. He may have a more specific, but I recall being January of 08.
And what did you think when you heard that news? There goes Janesville?
Well, I was scared to death, but not surprised, not shocked. There were the vehicles we were making due to high gas prices were not selling. Was the oldest physical plant in the GM system. They were having huge financial troubles. It looked like they were trying to shrink their corporation down closer to Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and so it was devastating to all of us. But and maybe it's more retrospect of what it wasn't surprising.
Hmm. Marv, were you surprised?
I was to a degree because I knew our plant and our workers put out the best quality of any General Motors plant. That the workforce was the best one that GM had. And we had heard before different times, and I just figured we'd get another product.
Mm.
And, to verify, I was in Florida, and I met a guy who owned a dealership, and he heard I worked at GM in Janesville.
Mm-hmm.
He told me he always knew the vehicles that came out of Janesville because the quality was the best from any plant he'd ever getting vehicles from, and he owned a Chevy dealership there.
Well, that must have made you feel good. There's a lot to not feel good about in all of this story, but that makes you feel good. Must make you feel proud.
Yes, our workforce was the best of any GM plant around.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about that, not only was it quality workforce, but at the time they closed the plant and they moved some of the work to Arlington, Texas, and a lot of it to Orion Township in Michigan, at that time, we were producing the SUVs at a lower cost per vehicle, than they were in Arlington, Texas. And they're closing us with high quality and lower cost to move jobs to Michigan and Texas. That was certainly hard to swallow.
I know, Tim, you were part of a group put together by then-Governor Jim Doyle to go to Detroit to meet with the heads of GM to try and get some work to remain in Janesville. How did that go?
Well, we were semi-optimistic. He had asked Brad Dutcher, who was the UAW president at the time, and myself to co-chair this task force called the GM. He called it the GM Retention Task Force. And we'd been meeting through the summer of 08, and then we went over to Michigan, and it was a totally bipartisan effort. That was the key thing, was not only Republicans, Democrats, but it was business and labor. And it was we were led by Democratic Governor Jim Doyle and Republican Congressman Paul Ryan. We went over there and made our presentation, and they had made their announcement at the beginning of the year. This is beginning of the fall. And they didn't say to us, "Well, thanks for coming over, but the decision is final. We're closing." They said the final decision had not been made. So that to us was like, the best news we heard. It wasn't the words we wanted to hear. That we're going to stay open, but the fact they didn't tell us they were going to close it. But thanks for coming over. It gave us some hope.
Mm-hmm. And then you found out that your hope was short-lived because it closed.
Right. And We put together a financial package. That's what our task force was up about. And we put together a package that totaled about $200 million, which was really a lot of money. About $150 came from the state, $20 million from the county, thanks to the other fellow on the phone here, Marv Opat, who was on the county board, $15 million from the city of Janesville, $2 million from Beloit, $500,000 from the private sector, and then some offers of financial incentives from both the healthcare system in Janesville as well as the utilities. And so we put together a great package. But this, I think, I've not told this before because I didn't want to, as long as there was a chance that plant might reopen, which is now gone, but it was on standby for several years. They told us specifically, when we put our financial package together, do not put in long-term tax credits. In other words, tax credits extend out that they would be able to qualify for 15 or 20 years. They said, we want to know what, they wanted the cash up front and very soon, which sort of tells you what right. The financial situation was of GM. So we did not put in long-term tax credits from the state. And lo and behold, Michigan did. And they were the ones that won. And they put in tax credits that extended out 20 years.
Oh, my.
So they ended up with a $700 million package against our $200 million. So in retrospect, I was convinced that we were sort of the stooges. We were to be used to play off against Michigan, but I don't believe we ever really had a chance to win. But that was only clear after we saw what Michigan had put together.
Mm-hmm. Marv, tell me about the importance of the GM plant in Janesville to your family, because I know it runs deep. You have an interesting story to tell about your son as well. But you worked there for how many years?
I worked there for 40.4
years. Wow. Whoa, that's a long time, Marv.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The last, I worked, started out on assembly line. In the last 25 years, I was the employee assistance rep there, like a counselor in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough. I had two kids working there.
Yeah.
My daughter and son, both. And, you're sitting there wondering what their future is going to be.
Right.
I was ready to retire, and I could retire. But the bottom dollar is that until I still, even after I heard they were closing, and I still had hope that one day they would go and throw a product our way.
Mm-hmm. And it was a good living? You made a decent wage?
Yes, I made a decent wage. My kids were making a decent wage. At a time when our plant was working Saturdays, that was all overtime. Friday and Saturday was overtime days. And then they cut all that out. Mm-hmm. And I had managers from the mall here say to me one day, they said, "What's going on? All our stores in the mall we're losing $5,000 a week.
Wow.
And I said, they cut out all of GM's overtime.
Yeah.
And that affected everybody in the community, just cutting back on the overtime.
Well, to say nothing of what happened when the plant closed. You, Tim, worked there to pay your way through college. Your dad worked there full-time for a number of years, right?
Right, right. And they had a program then where the sons of workers, they'd hire them in the summertime. Interesting, and as you think back, you know, 50 years ago, they never offered these summer jobs to the daughters of workers. Nobody ever suddenly thought about it much. We're just grateful that they even had this program. So, yeah, I paid my whole way through Whitewater through my summer job at the plant. So that's always been a big deal in my life. I also have to say, Kathleen, about Marv, when he said he's working in the plant, he was working with people with substance abuse problems. And it's really, you can't count the number of families or people where he either saved their lives or changed their lives for the better over 25 years. I know a lot about what he's done, and I don't think he can put a number on the number of lives that he changed and saved over those 25 years. He was a soldier in that effort.
Hmm. Marv, you want to talk about that work?
I said that I ended up with a job that GM even paid me to do. I was blessed.
Hmm.
I loved the job. They wouldn't even had to pay me to do it.
Oh, Marv.
Because you got to see families' lives turn around.
Yes.
And, yeah, it was, I was blessed, and, I think about it a lot, and I think about different people and how they were losing their jobs, and they became productive in society and ended up retiring from GM.
Hmm. And what about after the plant closed completely? Did you see an increase, Tim and Marv, in people who had substance abuse problems? We've heard about opioid problems all over the country from people who lost manufacturing jobs and kind of have fallen by the wayside. Did that become an even bigger problem, Tim?
Well, I had every belief that it did, but Marv would be better.
Marv?
I'd say that how much he actually saw and what really happened.
Yes, and not only that, but a lot of family issues. You know, financial issues
right.
created a lot of discomfort with families and relationships going down the tubes, and you know it was and a lot of that had to do with substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where for relationships they don't do well with substance abuse going
right.
on in them.
Right. And also it's hard for them to do well when one member of the family, your son, case in point, is having to work in Indiana where there is a GM factory. That's a pretty long ways from Janesville.
Well, yeah, and yet today that still bothers me that he drives 4.5 hours down and 4.5 hours
Goodness.
Back every week.
Goodness.
Doesn't miss a weekend to be with his family. And my daughter made a decision to not transfer, and she made a decision to go back and get a nursing degree.
Hmm.
And so she is an RN now and got her degree, and she stayed right here in the community. Matter of fact, she lives about 3 doors from me here.
Oh, I like that. That's where our kids ought to be, 3 doors down. It doesn't happen, but that sounds good to me. And what happened, Tim? What happened in the community? You're a lifelong resident. What is the ripple effect in terms of what happens to the banks? What happens to the stores?
Well, there's enormous effect. I mean, it's also worth pointing out that through the years, about half the workers of the General Motors plant lived in Janesville, and the other half lived within a 40-mile radius. In Beloit, the fourth largest employer in Beloit was actually GM in Janesville.
Hmm.
You know, that's how many people work there. That enormous impact. And Amy's book, Janesville, An American Story, is a terrific, I think, recounting act. So she does such a great job of really digging down into the lives of various people who were impacted various ways by their parents losing their job, they losing their job, or whatever, not just at GM, but in the supplier plants around. When the plant closes, 3,000 people lose their jobs in the last. They closed the second shift in July and the first shift in December, but 3,000 people lose their jobs in the plant, about 1,500 in the supplier plants that were located around Janesville that supplied the assembly line. So all this, but half of those folks were outside of Janesville. So I saw just not only all the things that Amy talks about in the book, but all the little different ways that it hurt Janesville. I have a good friend whose wife was a manager of a bar in Janesville. And what she started to see was people using their credit card to pay for two beers.
Yeah.
Now, you think of credit cards paying for dinner or lunch or whatever, or clothes, right. but $6 on their credit card. And her conclusion, they said they would get $1,000 a weekend in that bar and credit cards, was people trying to keep kind of living the way they had and using their credit card. I have a friend in a bowling alley. He belonged to a bowling team. And there's 32 lanes of this bowling alley, and they would have leagues on Wednesday night. And the bowling alley, all 32 lanes would be full up until 2008. In 2009, you went there, and there were 6 to 8 lanes that were dark, that were not being used. And that was people trying to find a way. That was a way to save 15 or 20 bucks, was just to stop bowling. People putting off, getting their hair cut quite as frequently, going to the beauty parlor, making it 1 week longer before you go back there. A new car, maybe you got a new car every 2 or 3 years when the plant was going. Well, you made the old car maybe last another year or two. So there's all this economic impact across Janesville, hurting the people who lost their jobs and hurting the economy of Janesville, too.
Mm-hmm. And there was, to help people over the immediate hump, there was a federal infusion of cash to give people temporarily?
I don't know how that might have worked. Maybe Marv is better. Maybe he doesn't know either, but I
do believe there was a type of package that, like for schooling and things on that order.
I see.
That would help people who went on to school. And I do know there was, but I don't know what kind of package it was or how much it was. But I do know there was something there.
Mm-hmm.
One other impact, Kathleen, Marv, is our listeners, is that the Chamber of Commerce had some data on the total income of Rock County residents. They have an annual number. And this, I think, grasps the damage as much as anything. The total countywide income in 2009 dropped $250 million lower than it was in 2008. Hmm. So across the county, might have been somebody lost their jobs through the Great Recession. It could be other things besides GM. But if you think of about $250 million less in household income just from 1 year to the next.
Goodness. And what about now? Have you recovered?
Well, there's two stories, and I think Amy does a great job in her book of talking about it. There's the sort of the public story that everybody wants to tell that we're resilient, we're coming back, things are getting better. But you don't recover from this kind of thing in a short period of time, and even 8 or 10 years is a short period of time. We have benefited in some ways, which kind of buffered the dramatic impact of this. Because we have, even today, about 2,500 retired GM workers in Janesville who have very good pensions as a result of working there and being part of the UAW. And so that's income that helps sort of buffer the community a little bit. And we're also significantly a bedroom community. We live we're sitting right on I-90. And so, one spouse can work in Janesville, one can work in Madison, the know, 40 minutes away.
Right.
Or one can work in Rockford 40 minutes the other way. And so you've got a lot of people living in Janesville, earning income somewhere else, and bringing the check back to Janesville to largely spend it here. So that certainly has helped. And then all these workers like Marv's son, who are commuting to Fort Wayne, and some are commuting from Kansas City.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
really?
Yeah. Now, they're on 410s over there, I think, four 10-hour days, so they kind of get a little longer weekend to get back. So it means that all those checks are largely getting spent in the Janesville, Rock County area. So we've had some things that have helped buffer this, but the jobs that are being created in Janesville today are nowhere near the $28 an hour jobs that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to get around that.
One of the things, too, is because of my past job, I still get a lot of calls from family members and their kids. Don't have jobs, can't find jobs in the area, and then their kids are the ones that have the substance abuse issues going on now.
Right.
And there's no insurance, there's no treatment in the community. Janesville does not have an alcohol and drug treatment center where they can go in and stay and get help like an inpatient unit.
Mm.
And these kids, you know, can't find work, and it's just been a ripple effect, I would call it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I get a lot of calls from family members that I worked with back when the plant was open because they want to be referred places.
Hmm.
And so that's still going on with a lot of the families, and that's all created because of the plant shutting down, in
right.
my perception only.
No, I think that's valid. There was a time when both of you, perhaps, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but having somebody who was from Janesville, a very prominent politician who was on the vice presidential spot for the Mitt Romney campaign, that maybe having somebody that prominent that Janesville could receive some attention from people in the White House should they win, or Paul Ryan, who is now Speaker of the House. Does it help to have somebody in that prominent a position? Has Paul Ryan been able to help Janesville?
Well, you want to go first, Marv? Go ahead.
My perception, and it's only mine, that politicians, and I know Tim has struggled, you know, trying to get some things done for our people, but I did not feel that above Tim that they pushed General Motors hard enough in the big political realm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about local. I'm talking about people in Washington. I don't think they came through for Janesville, and that's just my perception.
Tim, what do you think?
Well, I think one thing I've thought about a lot is that GM got out of town in a very sweet spot for them. We had, before Paul Ryan, we had Congressman Les Aspin,
right.
who was chairman of the Armed Services Committee and then Secretary of Defense. While he was in those powerful positions, there was no way in the world that GM, with all their defense work, was ever going to close the Janesville plant as long as Les Aspin was there. And then Paul Ryan, but they closed, so Les is gone, and Ryan is still a relatively junior member of the House in 2008. And so they get out of town in 2008 before Paul reaches real power. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that if they tried to close the plant today when he's Speaker of the House, it wouldn't happen.
Hmm.
And it wouldn't happen if Les Aspin, if they tried to do it when Les Aspin was there. But they got out of town in a sweet spot between Aspin and his power and when Ryan got his power. That's sort of just my take on it.
Hmm. Well, let's welcome phone calls from our listeners. We're talking with two of the people who are featured in the very well-written and documented book, Janesville, An American Story, Amy Goldstein. Amy was on Joy's show recently. If you want to listen to that interview, it's really it's a good piece of journalism and incredibly well-written, and it looks at what happened to the community of Janesville when the General Motors Assembly Plant closed in 2008, and really what's happened to the workers, to the town in the years since then. And we're welcoming phone calls because it's not just Janesville, of course, that experienced a great loss in terms of jobs, businesses from the Great Recession of 2008. It's been happening all over the country. So what has happened to the middle class? Well, what's happened, Marv? You heard Marv talk about being able to make a really good wage in a union job with GM, and then all of a sudden it's gone. So people are commuting long, long distances from Janesville to find work. Their lives have been uprooted. How have they been able to put them together? And what about you? Many people were affected by this. What have you done? I'm sure this story is speaking to many of you as well. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network. We're welcoming phone calls now. Our guests are Marv Wopat. He's a Milton resident, a former GM employee who worked there for a number of years, both his son, who still works in a plant, but this time in Indiana, and makes the commute back to Janesville once a week, back and forth. His daughter used to work there, too, but she's now a registered nurse. He is featured in the book, Janesville, An American Story, as is Tim Cullen. Lifelong Janesville resident. He worked at the plant. His father did as well. He was a Democratic senator in the Wisconsin Senate for a number of years, actually, two different periods, 75 through 87 and 2011 to 2015, former majority leader of the Senate. All right, let's go to phone calls, many of them coming in. We start with Jake in Madison. Hi, Jake.
Hi, thanks. Great topic. I grew up in Broadhead in the 80s and 90s with family in Orfordville and Footville, and as a kid I remember thinking that a job at GM would be glamorous. The people with the nicest homes and the boats and four-wheelers that I knew were employed by GM, it would have been a dream to work there. And you fast forward now to present day, Footville is essentially non-existent. Orfordville is not much better off, and thanks to Coon Knight, Broadhead is staying afloat. But we had the Woodbridge Corporation, and I think they provided the foam for the seats and GM, and the railroad that carried the parts into the plant went through our town, and all of the mom-and-pop shops that were dependent on the one part that they made for GM, their entire existence, and to have that ripped away is completely transformed everything within like your guest said earlier, within a 40-mile radius of Janesville. And just the ripple effect goes farther than what you could ever imagine. And it's not even the businesses that provided parts. Nobody had the money to spend in the little restaurants and the little bars anymore.
Right.
And it was just sad to see. It truly, truly transformed the places that I grew up in. To now, they're rather run down.
So, Jake, what happened to your dream of working in the plant? What did you do instead?
Well, I moved to Madison and got a job with the city. So I still have a good job. I was fortunate enough to have that work out for me. And my military experience, I'm sure, contributed to that. But I know there were a lot of people that I grew up with and went to school with that were kind of banking on getting the job at GM because they had a relative there or a parent there.
Right.
And it really derailed a lot of dreams.
Thank you so much for your call. Whoever wants to start, Marv?
Yeah, and what he said is so true about the outlying communities. And one of the things I was thinking about is not only that, but waitresses lost their jobs. because people weren't going out to the restaurants like they have been. There were a lot of businesses that didn't need the extra help.
Right.
So that was also affected. And we forget about Edgerton and Milton and Footville and all the little, you know, you have Janesville and Beloit, but you have all these little connecting towns that were also affected very badly.
Thanks, Jake, very much for your call. Let's go to Sue in Fort Atkinson next. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Kathleen. I found this a very interesting topic because I used to be an outside sales rep for paper copiers during the time that this happened, and Janesville was my sales territory.
Mm.
So when the Janesville plant closed, a number of other supplying plants also closed. And so what in effect happened is not only did the GM employees lose their jobs, but a lot of people at those other kind of ancillary businesses also lost their jobs. And as the years went on, people started losing homes because that income
sure.
wasn't made up, and a lot of places went into foreclosure. So when I ultimately lost my job 2 years later, I had the Rock County sales contract for copiers, and I ended up losing that. Because the county didn't have the funds.
Because
they weren't getting in the property tax income. So, I mean, it's just a snowball
all the
way across the board.
So you had to reinvent yourself, your job life.
I did, actually. I went to work with my husband, who is a self-employed carpenter, and now we actually have a remodeling and construction company, and we're both full-time employees. But, yeah, it kind of hits so many people in so many walks of life that, you know, people don't realize the snowball effect that it has.
Absolutely. Tim?
Yes. She points out all the ancillary impacts this thing had. Another big one, which we haven't talked about, is that the housing boom blew up in 2006, just a couple years before this. So we had... You know, the value of homes dropping and property dropping and the Great Recession and the GM plant closing and the supplier plants that this caller was referring to. I mean, it was really a triple whammy. The first two, the housing and the Great Recession, hit everybody across Wisconsin, the nation. But we got the third big whammy, which was... the loss of the GM plant.
Yeah. So who could have helped? What's the responsibility of state government to help, of federal government to help? Where were they helpful and where did they fall short? Marv?
Well, I believe, you know, kind of like I said, I think our state here did about as much as it could to help keep GM here. I think that, you know, we forget to take a look at the wages and how people are still struggling today.
Yes.
That we have to get some businesses that pay a decent living wage.
Right, right. No, it's all right. You didn't say it.
How the heck in today's world can a family live on minimum wage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then people tell me, well, McDonald's or the other places, they weren't meant for a person to just get their livelihood off of it. Wait a minute. It's a job.
Yes.
They should be able to get a decent wage. They should be able to live. And they should be able to have health care. You know, this... I believe that we're short on a decent wage in jobs that pay a decent wage so that people can survive. In businesses, in my perception only, because I did have good health care and it was provided by General Motors, that the insurance companies should be giving these companies a decent bang for their buck so they can have health care for their employees.
Well, you also, there are parts of the book, Tim, where you are talking about, and you are emblematic of kind of a partisan divide, a Labor Day parade in Janesville, and trying to get some bipartisan action on certain things, and everything's kind of falling apart politically, too. It has an increase in polarization kept Janesville and other places from being able to fully recover, being able to help people reinvent their lives?
Well, I think it's a factor that people don't want to discuss, and I think you've hit it on the head. The reality is that the polarization that we've seen in Washington, the polarization that I ran into in Madison, that same polarization showed up in Janesville. And there's been not much of an effort to involve the whole broad community in this recovery. There's been an effort by the Chamber of Commerce and a group they formed out of the chamber. But that group, which was supposed to try to revitalize Janesville, never included a Democrat, not including anybody from labor, anybody from a not-for-profit agency, or even maybe one person who lost their job. People, you say, well, what do they know about economic development? Well, they all have a story to tell, and you saw a little bit of that partisanship get into this. I can't say to you that there's one less company or one more company we have because it happened, but it wasn't. It didn't feel good to be in Janesville and see that happen. There's one other thing that has to be acknowledged, which hasn't been too much publicly, which was in the contract that the GM and UAW negotiated nationally in 2008. It occurred in, I think it was August of 08, created a two-tier pay system. And so the contract said that new employees at that time, 08, so it's almost a decade ago, mm-hmm. The new employees would be paid at that time $14.85 an hour, plus very good benefits, of course. And so part of what GM did, GM was not very nice to James on the way out the door. One of the things they said was if you took a job in Fort Wayne or Kansas City or Texas, and the GM plant in Janesville reopened, you could not come back to the Janesville plant at your higher wage, your $28, $30 wage. So that meant that if GM ever did reopen in Janesville, we were going to have a substantial portion of our workforce. We're going to be at the $14.85, which is, I'm sure, higher now 10 years later by a few dollars. But the reality was GM had it set up so if they did ever want to come back here, and they kept us on standby, which gave us everybody this hope, this 50-to-1 shot or whatever. But the reality was what GM had done and accomplished meant that if the plant did reopen, it was not going to be the old days of $30 an hour on the line or so. And that still would be way better than where we are today. We'd still love to have GM back here. But keeping that plant on standby kept me, at least, and I think others, just unwilling to publicly be a little bit tough on GM, more than a little bit tough on GM, because there was no way we wanted to do anything that would hinder the possibility of them coming back. And keeping that plant on standby for all those years basically kept us quiet.
Mm. Let's go to Ron in Janesville. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Ron.
I just wanted to talk about what I call the sort of trickle-down effect, you know, hitting the people at the lowest end of the scale. For many years, I was a part of the homeless center here in Janesville. And, you know, people coming into the homeless center, trying to get their lives together and stand back on their feet. And, you know, part of the service that we offered was to help them get jobs. Well, as the GM plant closed, a lot of those employees, and especially the employees from the suppliers, you know, took any job that they could get. You have to when you're going to pay the mortgage. And if it meant McDonald's or retail, they took that. And the way that it impacted the homeless population or the people trying to recover from homelessness was that there were just no, the low-rung jobs that was a starting point for them, they were gone. So it did have a downward ripple effect.
Hmm. So what did people do? How did they get out of homelessness?
With very great difficulty, you know, and some of them just didn't. You know, They got into different types of shelters, transitional living, and things like that. And I just like the second Marv's thing because for many years I saw people, you know, working 40, 50 hours a week who were homeless, living in the homeless center.
Goodness.
You know, and, you know, what is it, $7-$8 an hour.
Right.
And with 2-3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no way. And, you know, I tried in a small way to talk to different employers about, you know, a living wage, and I got 20 zillion reasons why they couldn't do it and no reasons why, you know, they could. So I think that's a real part of the problem.
Mm. Yeah, it is. Marv.
Janesville has pulled together.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim.
Janesville's pulled together. Everything Ron just said is so true. We have a school district with just under 10,000 students. 300 of them are homeless.
300? Really?
300 homeless Janesville school students. But the community, teachers, everybody's sort of pulled together. We have what they call the Parker Closet at Parker High School and the Craig Closet at Craig High School and some at the middle schools. Well, they're literally running a small store in the school. Teachers volunteer in their time to run it. And in the store are clothes for kids that don't have it, soap, detergent, you name it, things, essentials of life that kids can come in there and get for nothing. And all the stuff in there is donated free of charge. There's no tax money involved in this at all. And so there's all that kind of, there's things like that. We now have a homeless shelter in Beloit, literally a building by our organization called 1649. And that name, which gets to these problems, 1649 stands for 16 hours and 49 minutes, which is the hours of the 24-hour day when a student is not in school. And so how do they survive in the world? A pretty safe place and a good place. There's food at school. But the other 16 hours and 49 minutes are very tough for a lot of people. But all kinds of citizens have come forward with their time and their money to do all this kind of stuff to try to shore up people who are in really, really difficult situations.
And that's well and good, and God bless good-hearted people who do all of that and have to do that. But there's got to be a broader plan here. And, Marv, what do you think it is? You talked about jobs that will support families. What do we need to do to really recover from a Great Recession? What do we need to do so that people won't be getting free soap at schools and be homeless each night, and that people are making a decent wage? I'm not sure what the answer is. Maybe you do.
And I'm not sure, but one of the things I thought about is with General Motors, our employees donated at Christmas time at least $50,000, and that all came back into the community. And with United Way, just about every one of our employees would sign a sheet to have money taken out of their paycheck every week to go to United Way in the community, which would fund a lot of these programs that were helpful. In our United Way, if I'm correct, you know I'm real close, every year our plant, our employees would donate $250,000 to $300,000 every year to United Way, which funded these programs. But I still go, we have to get jobs with decent wages. And sometimes, and I thought about this, our employees, General Motors said they were hurting, and our employees went and voted to give a dollar an hour back to General Motors.
Really?
And it just clicked with me. I was part of that. And people think, oh, the union guys are so greedy and this and that. But General Motors was hurting, and it came to us, and each employer, the vote went that we would give back a dollar an hour of our wages to help General Motors out. And And you don't hear about that kind of stuff.
No, you
that
sure don't.
That doesn't get the paper, does it?
Yeah, no, you sure don't hear about that. What's the answer? What's the answer to this broader question, Tim?
Well, if I had it, I'd be president of the United States. the reality is that there's awful lot of talk about offshoring jobs, but technology, just accepting the reality of technology, has brought many good things to us in America, but it's been devastating in terms of middle class jobs. This GM plant here in the 70s had 7,000 employees.
Goodness.
It had 3,000 when it closed, and those 3,000 were just as productive and producing just as many vehicles as a 7,000, but it took 7,000 to do. And the entire answer was technology.
Mm-hmm.
It just, machines and equipment replaced people. And so this plant didn't close because of offshoring, like you might hear the president mention. It nothing to do with it. And so where are the jobs to replace technology? I see even Apple is now acknowledging that they are contributing to some of the loss of the middle class, and they've set aside $1 billion to try to figure out how to do something about this, including moving some of their jobs back to America. I don't think anybody has the answer, Kathleen, but this is just a different economy than we grew up in.
More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about Janesville with people who live in Janesville and who are featured in the wonderful new book that has just been written by Washington Post reporter Amy Goldstein. Janesville, An American Story is the name of the book. Joining us this hour, Tim Cullen lived in Janesville all his life, worked at the GM plant, paid his way through college as a result of summers working at the plant. His dad worked there all his life. He's a former Democratic senator and former majority leader of the Senate. Also joining us is Marv Wopat. Marv is a former GM employee. He and his family are featured in the book, his son and his daughter, and his retired. More phone calls momentarily. Stay with us, 800-486-8655 on the Ideas Network. And we go to John Paul next. Hi, John Paul.
Hi there. I'm a retailer out here in Janesville. I work for a collectible store, run events and everything. And the minute that the plant closed, we saw a massive, massive shift in just purchasing and even our clients. I mean, a lot of our customers ended up starting to just stop coming around in general. We made a lot of good friends over the last, even over since 1993, and losing a lot of people we've come to see their families grow up. They had to move out to other cities, other counties. Became truckers, and there's nothing in Janesville that pays anything close or, a livable wage close to what the GM plant did.
Your store is still in business?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we've had to really shift. We used to be really heavily into sports collectibles and memorabilia like autographs, higher-end things. But we've had to shift out of most of that to, cater to a different crowd because we've lost that, that middle-class demographic.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel that you were going to have to leave, John Paul, to move your store?
Myself, no. My side of things is more the gaming and the events for the store, but we had to ask the hard questions. That was a big question, is whether or not we'd be able to sustain those sections of the store without the GM families.
Right.
We'd have generations of people coming in, buying sports cards for their kids and then their grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah, the ripple effects are many. We're hearing from many people. Pam in Janesville, hi.
Hi there. I grew up in Janesville. My dad worked 42 years at General Motors. And very interesting show, but it does really hit you. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, the golden days of Janesville. We had really good employers, General Motors, Parker Penn. I don't know if you guys have talked about Jatco was the company that distributed all the cars, transported them around the United States. And all those companies, not Parker Penn, but Jatco, LSI, Gilman, Lear Seating, not just GM went down, all those companies went down too. It was unbelievable. And like they said, like Tim said, the housing market just fell out from under everybody's feet.
Right.
and there were so many people that couldn't afford their homes. There were a massive amount of foreclosures every week.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very sad. Now, Janesville is morphing. Janesville is changing. But that whole middle-class demographic has really suffered. They came out with, in the Gazette, our paper here,
mm-hmm.
the kids that are at poverty level for the school lunch program, it's way over half.
Yeah. Oh, well, the story continues. We are out of time. But I want to thank you so much. Thanks so much for all of your calls from the Janesville area. Marv Wopat, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, our pleasure. Tim Cullen, nice to speak with you again. Tim, good.
Thank you,
yeah,
Kathleen.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody for your calls. The book, actually, you may want to listen to Joy's show because she interviewed the author, Amy Goldstein, Janesville, An American Story, and we thought it was an important story, so we just found a couple of people who are in the book to talk more about what their experiences have been, political life and working on the assembly line. Thanks so much to Gretchen Brown for producing this hour and to Gretchen as well for on-air production here in Milwaukee. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and then stay tuned for Central Time. Thanks so much for listening here on the Ideas Network.